Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
All right, this is the MGB.
Sounds
review.
Like you were ready. Are you ready? 3 second pause.
Of EWA.
EWA Maryland?
Yeah.
You got the name of the event there, champ?
No.
The Matinee Mayhem from Saturday, November 13th, 3 p.m. bell time. This is at the Tall Cedars Hall, which I think that's where all the events that we've been to have been at in Parkville, Maryland. I saw one sign actually as we walked in, and I saw, as I was doing my notes for this, they actually highlighted this in a tweet. Over 20 years of wrestling excellence continues today at 3 p.m. at Tall Cedars Hall in Parkville, Maryland. I saw that sign as we kind of walked in. It was on like that far wall. Now, Mason, I'm kind of interested on this one. So, what does EWA stand for?
Eastern Wrestling Alliance.
Oh, you were a lot closer than what I was. Eastern Wrestling Association. And the thing that got me thinking about it was, I didn't wear their t-shirt actually on the day, because we were supposed to get Grimy Scott's t-shirts, and I was like, oh, we'll probably wear those. And I had a Voltage t-shirt, because we're actually going to a second event. And I actually wore my EWA Maryland shirt the next day, and as I was picking it out of the closet, it was like, oh, Eastern Wrestling Association. I don't think I'd even ever really even thought about it. It's just one of those things that I just kind of say now without even doing it. So yeah, you got a lot closer than what I did. Now, there was a fairly recent match for the recent event for this 2 months prior. EWA Evolution, or Evolution, I guess, with it being American. Some of the matches that don't feature people who were on this card, Sean Raymond over Damon Price. After Sean won, AK Willis came out to the ring and beat down Sean. He told the crowd he wanted someone in charge to give him a match. He deserved after being in the company for 3 years now. And after a little while, the Red Prince, TJ Sykes, came out and agreed with TK, and they both beat down Sean. TJ said they would do whatever they want. And the one that really interests me that I couldn't find anything over except for the result, Erica Lee won over Jordan Blade. It's like, that would have been a match I would have loved to have seen. I think this was a Friday night, which is why we couldn't actually make it for this one. All right, let's get straight into it then, Mason. I don't think we actually before we get into it, we had a lot of traffic on the way up, so we didn't get there quite as early as I would like, but I think we got there probably about 20 minutes before, and we'd already reserved tickets through Twitter. Like, I'd asked on Twitter and someone said, oh, just tell me how many you want and I'll reserve them. So I was like, yeah, get us three front row. It's like, okay, you got it. And then we turned up and then we're like, yeah, we got reserved seats front row. And they were like, what's your name? And they looked it up and I was like, oh, perhaps it's my Twitter name. And they're like, yeah, we don't have that either. So luckily they had plenty of seats available, so we were good. I was a little disappointed when I walked in how few people are actually there. But actually, as it got towards ring time, it was fine. I think people literally were just coming in 5 minutes before or pretty much at showtime. The other thing I had to remember is most of our events, we've been to three events. Two of those three have been basically their WrestleMania event, which is Rage in a Cage. And I think they pretty much always sell out for that, or it looks like they always sell out. So I was curious to see how many people would show up actually for an afternoon show. The reason I think they said it was an afternoon show is that it was Full Gear, the AEW show. So I think that makes sense. I think that you obviously wrestling fans are going to be interested in something like that, so you can always put it at a different time. All right, match one then was Eel O'Neil versus the world famous CB. I think that's how he goes by now. We know him as Cheeseburger. Now, we actually talked about this a little bit on the last podcast, although a week ago from everyone else's perspective, 1 day ago from our perspective. You said you weren't that impressed with this match.
No, I didn't say that. I said the other match had, they did a little like waist lock spot.
Uh-huh.
And I thought the other one was better because
it
was
okay. All right.
Because it more fit their style, because they were doing like flips over the other person and stuff to get out of the waist lock and stuff.
All right, fair enough.
And I said it kind of ruined it for me on that.
Okay, all right. The part I should have said first was, in the previous event, there was a 3-man match for the Cruiserweight title. Eel O'Neil, who was the current champion, faced Rico Hendricks and Mr. Jones. Eel lost the title to Rico. I did listen to an interview from the Turnbuckle Bandwagon. Quote, the Kings of the District, the best tag team in the DMV, joined the show to discuss their upcoming schedules, wrestlers and tag teams they want to face, and who is a bigger post-match menace. Thoroughly recommend it. You can find it on YouTube. Search the Turnbuckle Bandwagon, and I would definitely recommend that. All right, Mason, tell us about the match so you can leave the cat alone.
What do you mean? Eel wins the test of strength, and Eel distracts CB and gets a takedown. CB gets Eel's hand pinned behind his back and then wrenches his shoulder. Eel gets a scissors headlock, then does push-ups to like rub it in, I guess.
Uh-huh.
And CB gets Eel's palm on the mat, and then like he stomps on his elbow.
Uh-huh.
And Eel is targeting CB's knee. CB steps on Eel's hand, and they both attempt the clothesline at the same time and fall down. Eel does a power slam, and CB rolls through it and pins Eel's arm and then pins it to his back, and then Eel wins by grabbing his arm and his legs over CB for the win.
And CB on Twitter afterwards, it said, "Will Famous CB versus at Eel O'Neil," basically, from at AEW Wrestling. "One of my faves recently. I love pure technical wrestling. Let's do it again." EWA, I'm sorry. "Let's do it again. Give it a watch." And I actually posted, as we were there, because I was kind of live tweeting on the event, I posted, "Oh my gosh, I feel really sorry for whoever has to follow that match. I love technical wrestling. I thought those two matched up perfectly, and definitely something I'd hope that they can possibly do again at some point." This was originally supposed to be one of the co-main events, and it was moved to first, and I said, "Oh, I bet one of these has another match probably later, so they got to get to that." I forgot to look it up. I was going to look up on the, like, sometimes on Cage Match you can pull up the schedules and you can kind of find which matches they did. Not sure, so it's possible that was wait, but yeah, it was a great way to start the show for sure. Match 2 was the Series of Survival, which I absolutely love. The villains of Versace, Vinny Versace, Eddie Blass, JB Jr. versus Christopher Andino, Grimy Scotts, Saul, and Grizzly O. I think I must have missed a name out, because suddenly I've just realized that's 3 against 4. Something doesn't quite work there. I must have missed a name out from somewhere. It was originally supposed to be the Handsome Devils versus Grizzly O's gang, but then Jason Drake was unavailable. I did see on Twitter from EWA, "We wish Jason Drake a speedy recovery from his injury," so that was why he wasn't there. And also we saw that Austin Everett wasn't going to be there, and they did say there would be a late announcement, and the late announcement was Vinny Versace. Now, that was actually the one I was kind of interested in, Mason. Vinny Versace was on Cage Match. Like, oh, yes. I was like, that's a very unique name, so I was like, I'm going to look it up. It says inactive, though. Also known as Vinny Camacho, Vinny, Talon Meyer. And his last match that's listed on Cage Match was from August 2015. Berto Del Rio and Vinny defeat Big Earn and Dean Lambert.
Oh, Berto Del Rio?
No, I didn't say that. Berto Del Rio.
Oh.
And Dean Lambert, Compro event at Perfect Practice in Tulsa, Oklahoma. So he was actually unbeaten in like 6 years then, if that's true. And the match before that, even more impressive. Actually, I'm not sure if it's the match before or I just went back a little bit. June 2015, Vinny defeats Fuego Del Sol from AEW at IWR Unleashed at the Donald W. Reynolds Recreation Center, also in Oklahoma. I did see Vinny's from Oklahoma, or that's what it said on the thing. All right, tell us about this one, Mason.
Basically, the Grammy Scots, they give us like some cloth, I think.
Yeah, they're like it's like tied in a little knot. It's like a small piece of fabric, it's tied in a knot. I'm not sure if you're supposed to grab hold of one end and just kind of wave it around. If you're supposed to wear it, I'm not sure. I don't know.
But Grizzly O was by himself, representing the Dark Horses.
Grizzly, well, we also knew that Tomahawk was going to be in a later match, so, because he's currently a title holder, so we'll talk about that one later. I wasn't quite ready for this one, because I wasn't sure who was coming out. So we had the Scottish flag, and we kind of had a bag of streamers, but we didn't quite have them everything ready. And yeah, so I got my flag out, and as soon as I got my flag out, I think it was Hamish who was right next to me. I was like, whoa, I just wasn't ready at all for them coming out. And we didn't manage to get the t-shirts before the match, because they had their merch table set up, but they weren't actually at their merch table. So
The nachos were really good.
Oh, you guys, I don't know why I asked. I was like, "Do you guys need a snack?" And you were like, "Yeah." Jack, I don't think Jackson's ever said he's not ready for a snack. So he just had potato chips, but I remember the nachos from last time were kind of really good, and they were massive as well. So much cheese. I hate it when you don't get enough cheese and you've got more chips than cheese, and it's never a good ratio.
They spin Vinny Versace and like make him get dizzy, and then he instantly gets eliminated.
Yeah, he didn't last very long at all, and there was a no, hey, goodbye.
Yes.
Yeah, from the crowd as well. Yep.
Everyone's on the outside. Saul gets on the top rope like he's gonna jump, and while everyone's distracted looking at Saul, Grizzly jumps instead.
Yeah, I actually got that on video. Yeah. Grizzly O from the other post, and yeah, it looked really cool.
Dreamer misses a crossbody, and Dreamer is eliminated by Saul with an STF. They're choking Saul while the ref is distracted, and Grimy Scots rub their armpits on Vladimir's face. Grizzly gets a low blowed, and then Vladimir gets up, and Grizzly just, like, Vladimir jumps off of the top rope, and Grizzly, like, shoulder tackles him mm-hmm. off of the, like, he's on the ground, and then Vladimir's on the top. And that's how he gets eliminated. And then Christopher and Dino just leaves the ring for the 10 count, because it would have been a 4-on-1.
I don't think I've ever seen anything like this, because I said right at the start, I was expecting it to go possibly 4-2, but then probably come back to like 2-2, and then it would just be 1-1 in the final. And no, it was a perfect 4-0. I'm trying to remember what Chris had in his hand, but he was like, oh, heck no, and left, and then they chased after him. But then I remember they came back into the ring, and they were holding something that Chris had in his hand, but I can't remember what it was. But yeah, no, it was a fun match. Saul took a lot of the work at the beginning, which I was kind of hoping to see a bit more of some of the other characters as well. But yeah, no, he definitely did took one for his team. I thought Saul was going to get eliminated. I was like, they're kind of going to sacrifice Saul. Like, he got two people already. Like, just leave him in like a starting pitcher. Like, and as soon as he starts to get hit, then whatever. He can take one for the team, and then you bring in, you got plenty of people who are rested. But all right, match three was Youngman Oldboy versus Cayman MK. I looked up Youngman Oldboy because I didn't recognize that name at all. When they came into the ring, I was like, I don't think I've seen that person before. Fun fact, quote, I have no control of my facial expressions once my feet leave the mat. I did see he had quite a few pictures posted from when he was at Flying V. So that event still hasn't been on yet. It's supposedly, I thought it was live on IWTV, and I tried to watch it that night and it wasn't. And I was like, oh, it'll probably be out in a couple of days. And I think it's nearly been 2 weeks now, and it still hasn't come out on IWTV. So I'm wondering if it is coming out on IWTV. I might have got it totally wrong. Okay, go ahead, Mason.
You said it was Owen Youngboy?
Youngman Oldboy is his name. And the other person was Cayman MK.
Okay. Cayman pins both arms behind Youngboy.
Youngman?
Youngman. Youngman.
Reminds me a little
back.
Bit of Fat Boy Slim.
Yeah.
When I saw Youngman Oldboy.
A snap suplex by. I forgot his name already. Not
Cayman?
Young. Huh?
Cayman?
Yeah, Cayman. And Youngman gets. He gets knocked out for the loss.
Okay. On Twitter, after at Youngman Oldboy and Cayman MK faced off at the Matinee Mayhem, they found a mutual respect for one another, and at EWA Battle for Bel Air, they will team up to face the EWA Tag Team Champions, Black Magic. Now, they're actually offering tickets at this show for, I think it was $10 for... Was it $10 for general admission and $15 for front row? Or it might have been cheaper than that. I don't know. I know there was $5 off. This is a new location for them. And it said it was like an armory, I think it said. When I saw the pictures, it looked like a castle. It was like, it looked really, really cool. But having traveled up, having had a Friday night and two events on a Saturday, there was like, there's no way I can do a Friday and a Saturday again. So didn't go to this one. I've seen a few of the results because we're literally recording the day after. I have not seen the result for this one. The only thing I do know is, though, Black Magic are going to be facing somebody tonight at SWA, which is our first time there. They're just in southern Pennsylvania. It's pretty close to Hagerstown, as far as I can tell. There's actually a few people who we recognize from EWA who are going there. Originally, I said I was going. I saw Jesse O'Ryan was there. And I thought, oh, it's only 2 hours? I'm like, sure, we'll go and check out any organization. I like to see Jesse wrestle. I only see him at EWA Maryland. So I was like, great, we'll go check that one out. All right, match four, Seth Coleman versus Jesse O'Ryan, who I just mentioned. At EWA Evolution 2021, Hero Napier showed EWA Pain Factory student Seth Coleman and Zion Hart that you can take any shortcut you can to obtain victory. As Jesse O'Ryan was making his way to the ring, Hero came out of nowhere and brutally attacked him. With cheating throughout the match, it became too much to overcome, and Seth Coleman pinned a battered and bruised Jesse O'Ryan. Jesse O'Ryan has demanded it, and at EWA Matinee Mayhem, it will be Jesse O'Ryan versus Seth Coleman in one-on-one competition. It was really helpful. While I was trying to do my notes for this, because we'd missed the previous one, I don't think it matters for EWA Maryland. Like, you can go, even if you don't know any of the stories, you can still go and you can really enjoy the matches. For people like us who've been to a few, it was kind of interesting to go and look, actually find some of the backstories to this, and it kind of made the story even better in some ways. But they do a great job of promoting, like, hey, this is what happened, come watch it on Saturday so you can see how this story develops. All right, Mason, what you got? Besides a handful of cat fur.
No, Seth keeps leaving the... actually, I had a comment for the last match.
That would have been a good time to mention in the last match, probably.
I know, but it did. But I think that match should have been taken off the card, because the best part of the match was the fans yelling at young man to go back to, like, Illinois or whatever it was. Nebraska, I think it was.
There was one person from Nebraska, yeah. I can't remember.
I think it was young man.
Oh, it was? I thought it was MK, but okay.
Or it was one of them, but yeah. I don't know which one was which. So mm-hmm. Whichever one got knocked out. So it was,
MK.
Yeah, MK. So, I think the best part of the match was the fans yelling at him. Because it wasn't really long.
And
there wasn't much stuff going on in the match, and nobody really knew who...
I'll go back a match further. Having said that, I don't know how anyone's going to follow Eel O'Neill and CB after that match. The Grimy Scots match totally did. Like, it was absolutely perfect. But then my next thought was like, oh my gosh, who are you going to send up now after having those two matches? So I probably would have switched the order around a little bit. I probably would have had that third match first and then followed up with the other matches. But yeah, once you start off with such a high energy after that, yeah. It's difficult to keep up. I think it's easier to have a match that's not so high energy, and then the next match would be more high energy to kind of build things up.
And I thought Young Man looked a little bit like Joey Abarnes.
I
thought that might have been
Young
him.
Man was bald.
No. MK was bald.
Really?
And I thought the other one was...
I have a feeling you're mixing them up. Because I was looking at some
of the
pictures.
Well, the one
pictures.
In the mask, I thought might have been Joe... I thought the one in the mask might have been Joey Abarnes.
I thought that as well, actually. I wasn't sure. I meant to write that down in my notes, and I totally forgot about it. But yeah, no, I was wondering if that was Joey Abarnes as well. Because of the dreadlocks.
Yeah.
You could see coming out the back. Yeah. I thought that as well. I didn't think they looked as long as Joey's, though. So I think that's probably why I didn't write it down.
Well, we haven't seen him in, like, 2 years.
I understand that. I totally understand that. But it's not like he's the only wrestler that has dreadlocks. But when you're in that area,
yeah.
You kind of put two and two together. All right, who's a local wrestler who has dreadlocks? Who kind of looks like that anyway?
I think he said he was from D.C. and Joey Abarnes was from D.C.
It could wait. Yeah, it could well have been. Yeah.
Because it was basically D.C. versus Nebraska.
Uh-huh.
Nobody knew who... any of the other person's name was.
Okay.
But...
perhaps Young Man was from the Nebraska, then, in that case, then. But Young Man's definitely bald, because I've seen
okay,
the
Okay, then Young Man is the one that got knocked out.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right.
Okay, so Seth keeps leaving the ring, and Seth's manager hits Jesse when the ref is distracted. Seth's manager distracts the ref when Jesse should have won. And Jesse wins with a code breaker off of the top, and Seth's manager turns on Seth.
He does. I saw EW Maryland tweet, this mean green fighting machine makes his flying V debut to show the world what being the everyweight is really about. Jesse O'Ryan steps up to fight back. Can't find the results yet. I'm really upset now that we missed Flying V. We just couldn't make it. But I didn't know Jesse O'Ryan was on the card. I must have missed that one totally. Didn't see anything. I tried to look like, did he win? Who was he facing? I couldn't find anything about that at all, unfortunately. Match 5 was Rico Hendricks versus Alexander James. The EWA Cruiserweight Championship was on the line at EWA Evolution 2021, and a thrilling contest between the reigning champion Eel O'Neill, Cayman MK, and Rico Hendricks. Oh, they must have changed that then, because originally I read that as somebody else. I read it as Mr. Jones, so that must have been the last minute switch then, I guess. With some assistance by his manager, Derek Benesch, and a timely low blow. Aw, Rico, you cheat. Rico Hendricks claimed his first championship in EWA and became the EWA Cruiserweight Champion. Now the Hunter has become the Hunted, and Rico Hendricks will have to defend the EWA Cruiserweight Champion when EWA returns to Tall Cedars Hall. October 18th, after Rico Hendricks won the EWA Cruiserweight title, all he could talk about is how he won a title before Saul Esparza. When EWA officials gave Rico Hendricks a list of title contenders, he said he wants to do what Saul couldn't, and that was defeat Alexander James. That video is on YouTube, and it's well worth watching. EWA officials signed the match, but it will be non-title contest, as Alexander James is a heavyweight. And when Alexander James heard about Rico's challenge, he only had two words to say: his funeral. Whew. I will mention right now, that's probably one of the few matches I do know the result from yesterday. Saul did actually get his revenge. So he did actually win. So it's like 1-1 in the series. And already some people are asking for, hey, let's have a best of three then, since it went so well. All right, tell us about this one, Mason.
Rico's manager throws water at everyone. I didn't actually
Derek Benesch. I got a little bit on my leg, but I forgot that last time because I was busy trying to kind of get things ready, and then he caught me out at 1CW as well. I think it's kind of funny.
Alexander Dane, Rico tries to jump over Alexander, but he just runs right through him. Octopus stretched by Rico, and he screams, and Octopus stretched to Rico, and Rico screams in pain. Rico goes in the back, and while Alexander James chases him, Rico's manager attacks Alexander from behind, and the holy water falls over.
Oh, it did. Yeah, a little piece of it broke out. Jackson noticed there was actually like, because it kind of looks old, but he noticed there was like a newer bowl inside. I guess I might, perhaps it's not, perhaps it doesn't carry liquids, or perhaps it's just to protect the inside of it. But yeah, I don't think that part was supposed to happen.
Yeah,
it certainly wasn't supposed to break, but yeah, we got to see that a little bit. I don't know if this is going to come through on the podcast, but the cat's like needing a paws up against the basket right now. It sounds really loud to me, but if you can hear any background noise, we apologize.
Yeah, Rico gets Alexander in a chokehold, and Alexander pulls down the rope, and Rico goes over. Rico's manager distracts Alexander from jumping off of the top quick enough, and he misses Rico. Then a big face driver by Rico, and a powerbomb, then an STF by Alexander for the win, and Saul takes out Rico's manager so he doesn't interfere with the ref and the match and stuff like
mm-hmm.
that.
And there'll be more to talk about that after the intermission, but one of the things that caught me for this match is a flashback to Nova Pro, actually. We know Alexander James is from the Maryland area, because we know that's where he started his training, and he mentioned that at some of the points as well. Somebody who was behind us kept cheering for Uncle AJ. It reminded me of Steve Manders when he made his debut at Nova Pro, and there was clearly a member of his family there who was cheering for Uncle Steve in that one. So I had a little flashback to that one. That was the intermission. And during the intermission, we went to the Grimy Scots. We managed to get our t-shirts. I saw them post about it a while ago, and I said, hey, can you save us some? And because we knew that at that point they were going to be at EWA Maryland. And yeah, we got those. We just put them in the car. Came back. I don't think we got any pictures with any wrestlers particularly for this one. I think we kind of seen everybody.
Yeah.
The only thing that we did have was while we were talking to the Grimy Scots, and I wish I could remember who the person was, but somebody commented on the fact that they just listened to one of your old podcasts. It was the review of the Sweet 16 event from, oh gosh, I'm guessing it must have been about March 2020, something like that. Probably February 2020, possibly. It was before the pandemic anyway.
That was probably 3 months ago.
So,
If you guessed from March 2020, it was probably 3 months
no,
ago.
No, well, we know the pandemic, and it was clearly before that. Because we went to, it might have been 2019. I think the last event we went to for EWA Maryland was actually Rage in the Cage. I think it was that one with Jackson. I think that was the only one. I think they were then supposed to have the Sweet 16, and I think if I remember, it got cancelled because of the pandemic.
I thought we watched it like on Facebook Live.
We did see that, but I don't think we reviewed that one though.
I thought we did.
But I do know one thing. Our YouTube channel is way out of date right now. I did look the other day. The last episode I uploaded was season 4, episode 6. This is likely to be season 4, episode 41. So it's about 35 episodes behind right now. And the reason I know that was when we did it was we removed some of our episodes because of that organization in New Jersey that closed under bad circumstances. So, possibly over Thanksgiving. I think that's when I kind of did my last major update. I'll start uploading some of those titles. But to be honest, I think most people now are listening on SoundCloud. Or they've subscribed on YouTube, subscribed on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts through Visionaries Global Media. Now, I don't know if I told you this one. I think I told you one of our episodes recently had a lot of views. I actually looked again. We've got two episodes now with over 150 views just from SoundCloud. So I don't know how, I don't think that's even the major one. Like for me, I don't listen on SoundCloud. I don't know anyone who listens on SoundCloud particularly. So yeah, some of our episodes are starting to get a little bit of momentum, which is, yeah, it's great to know that people are listening. We kind of do it for a small little audience, but it's starting to expand a little bit. All right, after the intermission, I think if I remember correctly, and I don't have this written down, but you might, I think this is when Alexander James came out, wasn't it? Didn't he come straight out? Yeah. So he came out, he's very unhappy with Saul. He mentioned the fact that he beat the living snot out of him at the previous event, and he said he wanted to face him again, and we already talked about that fact, and they had their result. All right, match six. This was Julian Blaze / Gallagher and Tortuga Fuerte. I couldn't find much on these ones, Mason. / Gallagher, I did find on Twitter, at / Gallagher, VTuber, future pro wrestler, Cyborg from the Distant, post-apocalyptic future of 1999, gonna play some horror games and boomer shooters. Couldn't find anything about wrestling, though. It was only video games, so I'm not sure. And Tortuga Fuerte, I did find out, is basically strong turtle in Spanish. Yeah, I tried to see if terrapin was a similar word, because obviously that would be more appropriate for Maryland, with the University of Maryland being known as the Terps because of the terrapins. Yeah, this one's pretty much you, then.
I think the two out of the three. I know Tortuga was part of the Grammy Scots, but I can't remember which of the other one.
No, you'll be telling me next that Blank is Logan Easton LaRoe as well. Whoa. Wow, spoiler alert.
Yeah, I don't remember which the other one was.
There was a similarity, I would have to say. / Gallagher does sound like a Scottish name, I did think.
Uh-huh. And Tortuga was, yeah. He was also one of the Grammy Scots. Tortuga came out in a ninja costume.
Mm-hmm.
A Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles costume.
That would make sense with the turtle, yeah.
Tortuga can't get off of his back once he falls on his back. And they both elbow Tortuga, but they both get taken down, but get taken out. Tortuga finally gets off his backs and pins both of them for the win. It was a quick comedic match.
Yeah, it works,
comedic was the word.
It works perfectly in splitting up other matches. It would have worked perfectly after match two, but if it was the Grimy Scots, as you said, then obviously you couldn't do it there because they just appeared in match two and there wouldn't have been enough time. So, I enjoyed the match. I thought it was fun. Match seven was the tag team titles. Black Magic, which is Tony Macho and Mason Wells, versus Hiro Napier and Zion Hart. I just followed Zion Hart on Twitter today, actually. And I actually switched notifications on as well. He only has 8 tweets since joining in 2019, so they're very infrequent. So when he tweets something, it's obviously going to be something really important, so I want to find that out. EWA Evolution 2021, the tag team champions Black Magic successfully defended their titles against Austin Everett and Eddie Blass, closing the claim that Austin Everett had on the tag team titles he never lost. During the match, the tag team Studio 22, that's Chris Andido and Jeremy Grimes, caused a bit of a commotion ringside, taunting the champions. And after the show, Studio 22 met with EWA officials and have officially signed to appear at EWA Matinee Mayhem on November 13th, as well as EWA Battle for Bel-Air on November 19th. I think there might have been some changes on that one. Now, we have to be very careful with personal pronouns now, Mason, as well. Sometimes we know. Sometimes we just make a genuine mistake and just didn't realize that one. Here's an example of one. Hiro Napier led his team to victory at EWA Evolution 2021 and immediately petitioned EWA officials for a tag team title shot. EWA management agreed, and at EWA Matinee Mayhem on November 13th, Black Magic defend their titles against Hiro Napier and Zion Hart. Will Hiro Napier continue to torment EWA and lead her charge to championships, or will Black Magic continue to dominate the tag team division? Join us at Tall Cedar Halls and find out. I'm assuming it's just a typo, but as I was reading it, I was like, huh? So, yeah, they got a little confused there in the middle. I'm wondering if they meant to put a Hiro and put her by accident and just didn't put the other one. I'm not sure. I'm reading it now. I hadn't thought of that before. Go ahead. Tell us about the match, Mason.
Hiro was Seth's manager before, the one who attacked Seth.
Yep.
Seth tried to hit Magic with a kendo stick, And the ref makes Hiro take all of his cosmetics off. Like, I think that's what the word is. Mm-hmm. He had like spikes on his head that you can just screw on.
Yeah.
And then he had like earrings, but he didn't make them.
Cosmetics is more like earrings, but I know you. Yeah, okay. They're accessories.
Accessories,
sure.
Yeah.
But yes, I'd forgotten that part, but yeah, they looked really impressive. The little spikes in the head. I remember that. Yeah.
And he had like cool nose ring, earrings.
Somebody commented on his look, actually, from the person beside us, and he was, even though he was being a heel, he was like, thank you. It was kind of hard to stay in character.
Oh, yeah, it was something like...
Somebody was being nice to him.
He was, like, booing him, and then Hiro started getting mad, and then he was like, oh, I don't want to mess with you, or something like that. He was joking. Take his piercings off his head, and he takes a crop and throws it in...
He takes a what?
He takes powder... And throws it in magic's in one of the black magic.
It was Mason. It was Mason Walls. I actually managed to get the picture as soon as I saw, because you said he's got something in his hand. So I immediately got my camera, and I was waiting. And I actually have a pretty much perfect shot. You can see exactly what happened.
I didn't write down Walls or Mako until the end because I didn't really realize because they were just introduced as black magic.
Yeah.
Seth Coleman comes out and Hiro gets caught choking Wall. And Zion gets punched in the face, Hiro gets punched in the face in his nose piercing, and that hurts him a lot. And Black Magic wins with a bunch of kicks and a suplex.
I saw on Twitter there's hashtag BW500, which I don't think I saw this year. I've seen it in previous years because I've commented on it before. I think it stands for the Black Wrestlers Top 500. So it's kind of like they do it after PWI, but it focuses just on black wrestlers. Mason Walls was 265 on that list, and his tag team partner Tony was 263. Ooh, I wonder if there's any rivalry there. Just that little bit ahead. Top five. Number one, Trish Adora. Oh. I got no complaints with that at all. Number two, Bobby Lashley. Number three, AJ Gray. Number four, Lee Moriarty, who was IWTV champion this year as well. And five, someone who we reviewed recently, Rich Swann. So I was like, yeah, that's a pretty solid list right there. All right, match eight was the Maryland Championship.
Do you know
where
Benjamin Banks ranked on that?
I did.
Wasn't he top 100 last year?
You couldn't zoom in onto it, unfortunately. It was a picture, but it was kind of weird. Normally, you can kind of zoom in to see. I was really struggling to zoom in, but I could see the it was like a separate picture, I think it was, for the top five, or I Googled it and I found the top five because I was just kind of curious. But yes, Benjamin Banks has certainly been on that list. There's been a lot of people who I've seen comment on that who perhaps not necessarily made the top 500, or they appeared obviously higher than what they would on the PWI, but yeah. Match 8, Maryland Championship, Tomahawk versus Sylar Mason. From October 22nd, for nearly 2 years, Tomahawk has reigned as EWA Maryland Champion. Tomahawk retained the championship over Jason Drake, and he has demanded competition. Sylar Mason has answered the call and will be next to challenge for the championship. Will Tomahawk continue his reign, or will Sylar pull off the upset? Go ahead, tell us, Mason.
They both take an awkward fall on the outside, and Sylar gets chopped by Tomahawk in all four corners. Death Valley Driver by Tomahawk, and a pop-up powerbomb by Tomahawk. And three different type of suplexes by Sylar, and Tomahawk wins with a rock bottom.
I'm not sure, but I can't ever remember seeing the times that we've seen, and we've seen Tomahawk and Grizzly O at Atlantic Terror Championship Wrestling. I don't think we've ever seen them lose. I was trying to think back, like every time, like Tomahawk's obviously been champion for a while now and he defended this championship. We mentioned that Grizzly O won again. We've seen them win as tag teams. I can't ever remember seeing them lose when we've been there. So perhaps we might be their lucky charm, possibly. I'll have to go back and look at some of those results. Match 9 was the Sweet 16 final. AK Willis versus, I put the West Virginia guy. I was actually forgot to find out who this actually was. On November 19th, 2021, at the Battle for Bel Air, at the historic Bel Air Armory, it will be Sly Capone versus AK Willis. This match will be for the EWA Championship if Sly successfully defends the title. And if Jason Andrews wins this match, which will still occur, but it will not be for the title. So that was kind of AK's build-up for this one. All right, Mason.
I think I put his name was John. That's
could be.
Best I got.
There, I think there is a John. I'm trying to remember the list. I think there might be. Yep.
Jason distracts John and AK attacks him. AK whips John into the corner very fast. And AK sells the DDT amazingly. He nearly flipped when he did the DDT.
Mm-hmm.
A shoulder tackle off of the top by John. And AK gets his foot on the rope. Jason distracts the ref with a steel chair, and AK wins by hitting John with the belt. And so they bring out the they bring out the footage to show the ref, and they restarted the match, and John runs straight into AK and suplexes him and does a leg drop for the win, but he gets attacked after the match and Sly Capone comes in to help.
And that kind of leads perfectly straight into match 10 then. So match 10 was the heavyweight title, Sly Capone versus Jason Andrews. For 21 months, Sly Capone waited to return to EWA and defend his title. The evening of EWA Evolution 2021, he defended that title against three opponents. After the match, AK Willis and TJ Sykes stormed the ring, taking their aggression out on the defending champion. Jason Andrews seemed to have the back of Sly Capone when, from out of nowhere, he landed a crushing knee to the face of Sly. The three men continued the beating and walked away with the physical EWA championship. Sly Capone has demanded an opportunity for revenge, and Commissioner Bill Ward has obliged. So I think that was already mentioned that he was going to face Jason Andrews on this one, and then if whatever happens, he was going to kind of face AK Willis on the next one. Mm-hmm. One thing I got from this match that I don't think he would have done, Mason, there was a very rocky moment in this one, because they were kind of like, let's just get the match started, and he put his glove out and he's like, ding, ding. That's it. That's a rocky moment from that one. So anyone who watched the films would have known that one. I thought that was kind of cool.
Oh, rocky. Oh, I mm-hmm. thought you meant like edgy.
No, the
movie.
Yes, the movie.
Oh, why does Sly Capone always look so tired?
I don't know,
but he always just looks so tired.
I don't know.
But I don't have much for this match, but okay. Sly throws a toothpick at Jason, and AK comes in, and he was kicked out of the match, and Jason hits AK on accident, and Sly wins with a slam. That's it.
Okay. I really enjoyed this one. I'm glad Sly retained. He obviously has a big fan base there. The fans love him, and I think he's also appearing at ATCW, I mentioned earlier as well. I think he looks more ripped than when I last saw him as well. I thought he looked in, I don't want to say much better shape, because that's disrespectful, but I thought he looked physically very impressive, more than what I remembered from previous times when we'd seen him nearly 2 years ago. But no, I was clearly rooting for Sly on this one. I didn't want to see the heels get one over Sly on this one, so no, I enjoyed the match.
I think Sly is a really good, smart businessman, because mm-hmm. he buys like those $5 headbands or whatever, mm-hmm. and you can see everybody with a $5 Sly.
Oh.
Like, kids everybody wants one.
Well, everyone except for you and Jackson, because you don't know where yours are.
No, but I know where mine is.
I asked Jackson, but I was like, did you bring it? He's like, I don't know where it is.
Nobody had, not, well, you don't get a t-shirt every time, but
yeah.
You can easily get one of those headbands, yeah. And you see everybody wearing those more yeah. noticeable than a t-shirt,
cool.
even.
Of course. Yeah, t-shirts can be a little expensive, but yeah, if you can have something on your merch stand that's easily affordable like that, then you got fans.
Yeah.
And it makes perfect sense. I understand t-shirts are still good things to sell because they don't take up that much space. And everyone's going to wear a t-shirt.
Yeah, that doesn't take up space either.
No, it doesn't. It takes up very little space. But no, for a kid, and I'm going to say, if Jay still had his, he would have taken his. I know for sure.
Uh-huh.
So, perhaps next time we go then, you might have your Sly Capone headband on, or you'll donate it to Jay since he's lost his. Get your double dose of EWA Maryland in November as EWA makes our debut at the historic Bel Air Armory in downtown Bel Air on Friday, November 19th. Already signed as a grudge match between Sly Capone and AK Willis, as mentioned earlier. Also, this caught my eye though, as well as the 32nd annual Gobble Gobble Rumble, where the winner gets a frozen turkey and a championship opportunity. This is one you won't want to miss. Now, the reason this caught my eye is, this is basically the end of our review, Mason. Right at the start though, I mentioned something different to this. I mentioned the fact that they talked about they've been wrestling at EWA Maryland for 20 years. Mm-hmm. How do you get a 32nd Gobble Gobble Rumble if they've only been going for 20 years? I did wonder if there's a precursor to this organization. Like, was there another organization that then became EWA Maryland?
You got a multiple in a year?
For a turkey?
Huh?
For a turkey? For a Thanksgiving turkey?
You could have
the Gobble Gobble Rumble? That's pretty much Thanksgiving specific, I would have thought.
You could have two in the same card, I guess?
I guess you could, but I don't think that they did. And
it could mean something else other than like the 32nd annual Gobble Gobble.
It could do. I don't know. It was a question I wanted to answer. I'm hoping like somebody who listens might actually know the answer, and they can. I was just kind of curious. I should have just responded to the tweet, really.
Yeah, like there was something. I can't remember the exact date, but it was something like 0509 Rumble or something like that.
Uh-huh.
You were very confused, and it ended up being the date.
Oh, okay.
It was something like that. It might be the date. I don't know.
All right, the thing I've talked about a little bit. Happy to be partnering with Summit Wrestling Association, who are putting on shows in Greencastle, Pennsylvania, to have the EWA Tag Team titles being defended in yet another state. We at SWA, this is from SWA, have struck a deal with our friends over at EWA Pro Wrestling for a night of cross-promotion on November 20th. This is where we're going. This is hashtag rebirth of the Summit. This Saturday in Parkville, Maryland, the team of Mason Walls and Tony Macko of Black Magic retain their championships, and on November 20th, the team of Los Luchamigos is set to face Black Magic in tag team action. But now, not only will they just be facing Black Magic, they will now be facing them for their Eastern Wrestling Association Tag Team Championships. Ooh. However, if Black Magic are unable to retain their championship at EWA's event on the 19th, and I don't know the answer to this because I didn't see this result. I should have mentioned Sly Scarpone did retain again at Bel Air. He did beat AK Willis. The new champions will be added to the Black Magic Luchamigos match on the 20th, so this could be a three-way tag team match. And we look forward to doing more business with EWA Pro Wrestling in the near future, and thank them for this mutual agreement between our companies. Now the stakes are raised as SWA returns to the Shady Grove Community Center. The only reason I know he won is I saw on Facebook Sly Scarpone's character showed a picture of him holding the belt again. So I know that he'd retain for this one. Anything else for this one, Mason?
No,
I guess kind of this one's
stupid again.
This one's kind of different because actually after we left this, normally we'd go home, but we actually had we were kind of curious when I originally saw this one. I kind of asked the question. I was like, "Ooh, I wonder if we can make Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, to go and see the Voltage one." And they said, "Hey, we're going to finish the show at this time, so you should easily be able to make it." And yeah, they finished around the time they said they were going to, and we kind of got a little, I don't know, I don't think my GPS was particularly helpful trying to get us to a restaurant. But yeah, so we did make it to Waynesboro, and Voltage Wrestling will be our next week's review. And we're going to record it tomorrow, Mason. We're going to record 3 in 3 days, and then we'll get a little bit of a break. But then, I don't want too many wrestling events in my head. We're going to one tonight as well. And I was like, oh my gosh, I can't deal with 4 different wrestling events. I needed to get a few of them out of my head. So we got 2. All right, I think we're done.
Yep, this is MGB. We're out. Peace.
Music was Zigzag by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/